Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
So much to talk to you about today, Sarah Gon, but you want to talk about It Rocks Not, whatever that is, and then let's see if we've got time over. Who knows where we'll go?
Well, this is in the line of your, in line with your curry feature.
Okay, yes.
In fact, it struck me that perhaps we've got to claim our Knedlach so that it just, you know, must not be spread around the world by all and sundry.
Yes.
Well, this might, I hope this, what I'm about to tell you will mark a turning point in the idiotic wokeness that Americans are capable of.
Yes.
And that is this, the University of Wisconsin at in Madison removed a 42-ton boulder from its campus after complaints that the rock was a symbol of racism. Now, Chamberlain Rock, as it was called, had sat at the particular site since 1925, and was named after Thomas Chamberlain, a geologist and former university president who served from, I think it was 1887 to 1892. What was the problem? Well, a 1925 Wisconsin State Journal article, and by all accounts, it was the only reference anyone could find once it came to their attention, used the following term as to describe the giant boulder. And the term was niggerhead. Now, it was an obviously derogatory term used to describe anything that had a certain shape. The Black Students Union asked for it to be removed. I think there was a Native American Students Union that asked for it to be removed. And they said that it was in the wake of the killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, although in Breonna Taylor's case, the police were held not to be liable for, it wasn't intentional or even or careless death. Now, the woman who was the president of the Wisconsin Black Students Union said it was very meaningful for me to be there and to see the process all the way through to the end. I must just tell you, you know, 42 tons of rock cost $50,000 to remove. Their demands were met. It was a powerful moment to see this demand come full circle. And the Native American Students Organization said much the same thing. The removal of the rock was approved by University Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank in January. She said it took courage and commitment for the Wisconsin Black Student Union to bring this issue forward and to influence change alongside UW's Wamsheek, which is the Native American grouping, etc. Now, I listen to this and I think if you can't live with an obscure, albeit racist, once-off reference that no one uses, no one cares about, is 100 years, virtually 100 years old, you're not going to survive much in life. And we know more than most that, you know, you can be subjected and expected to tolerate or at least bear a lot of derogatory words thrown at us. So I, as a friend of ours says, you cannot cure stupid.
Do you know what upsets me about this? And it's probably not politically correct to say this, but this is going to cause Trump and Trump supporters to bring him back. This is just playing into those hands.
Of course it is. I mean, you know, it certainly, it'll be interesting to see what sort of effect it has on the midterms, the senatorial vote, elections. But it's the worst of woke. It's also the silliest. You know, it's one of those things where it just opens itself up to ridicule. And that's probably the worst thing about it. It's not that you have to argue comprehensively against it in some, you know, using fine language and terminology. It's just joking. And also bear in mind, of course, that a state like Wisconsin in the 20s was a highly conservative state. Somebody pointed out from the article, the Ku Klux Klan was very much a presence at that time. I think we've come away since. I don't think the hangover from that is that long lasting.
Sarah, I want you to weigh in on some breaking news, because you and I have discussed this issue before. You and I have discussed, you were very vocal and in your thoughts about the Judicial Services Commission. I think we spoke about Judge Unterhalter and the fact that South Africa had been, we were all the poorer for this flawed process. That apparently was instituted. It seems to me, and I don't know how correct this is, but I'm in front of me is a media statement saying that, in fact, the shortlist of candidates submitted by the Judicial Services Commission has been set aside, and there will be fresh interviews for those candidates. Surely that must be a very, very good thing.
I think it is. I think CASAC was brave and brave to take it on. I think it also is, it was essentially an obligation on the Constitutional Court to right a wrong that directly affects it. And the wrong was not a fundamental wrong of principle. It was about bad behavior, essentially. And bad behavior by people who hold a very onerous task in interviewing and selecting Constitutional Court judges, as well as all other judges. But, you know, if you're interviewing Constitutional Court judges, rudeness and idiocy become unconstitutional, and I think it's a very good development.
Rudeness and idiocy. I like that. Sarah Gonne, as always, thank you for your time and input. You and I will chat next Thursday.
Sure.